What can the president do to advance abortion or to stop it? We'll explore the myths and realities next on Gospel of Life. Hello, this is Father Frank Pavone, National Director of Gospel of Life Ministries. Welcome to our program. I'm joined by Janet Morena, our Associate Director, and today we're going to talk about the presidency and abortion. So, Janet, many people are asking, what difference does it make if the occupant of the White House is for or against abortion? And we want to explore that from two dimensions here today. What can a president who is against abortion do in order to advance the protection of the unborn? What is it in a president's power, on the other hand, that he or she could do if they are in favor of abortion? And the answer, of course, lies in between two extremes. We want to start just by making sure that nobody has false expectations. We do not live in a dictatorship. The president does not wield individual ultimate authority. There are three branches of government. They have checks and balances. A president really is limited in many ways. And yet there are other ways, as we're going to see, where he has a lot of influence. But the point is that neither does he have a magic wand to stop abortion if he's pro-life, nor does he have a magic wand, for that matter, to just let it continue if he's pro-abortion. The reality is in between those two extremes, isn't it?
That's right. And the first thing that the president does right around, when he's inaugurated, with those first few talks he gives, is he sets a tone.
Sure.
So, for example, when George W. Bush took office, he set the tone by saying, if you bring before me a bill that goes against pro-life policy, I will veto this bill. So now what that does is that sends a signal to the Congress, who might have bills percolating in committee, that, well, if we're going to try to bring a bill that's going to make more abortion, whatever they're going to do, it's not going to see the light of day right now, because the president's already stated he would veto such a bill, and we don't have enough people to overturn the veto. So, it really sets a tone when a president, in that first inaugural address in the first few days of his presidency, makes statements like that. This is what I will do. This is the kind of legislation I will veto if you bring before me. Now, if it was a pro-abortion president, probably he would say something in reverse.
He could say the same thing in reverse.
In
exactly.
reverse.
Exactly.
So that sets a tone that kind of ripples down to the halls of Congress.
That's right. That's right. What we want to do in this program, therefore, is let's look at some of the things that have been done in an administration like President Bush, which is against abortion. Let's look at, secondly, at what kind of things a pro-abortion president could do. And then thirdly, we're going to look at some of the one big area of presidential influence, which is presidential appointments. But first of all, what pro-life progress have we made? Obviously, one of the key things a president does is to nominate judges to the federal judiciary, including justices to the Supreme Court. And President Bush has had an opportunity, as of this taping anyway, to have two replacements to the court and get them confirmed by the Senate. And from everything that we can tell, these are men who are by their judicial wisdom, by the way that they interpret the Constitution and their philosophy of judicial action, can move the court closer to the day when protection for the unborn is restored. So that's major, because obviously the Supreme Court justice stays on long after the president has left office.
That's right. And of course, the other thing President Bush did was we had three pro-life bills that made their way, out of committee, passed through Congress, and came to his desk, and he passed all three of them. So that's the Unborn Victims of Violence Act,
right.
This the Born Alive Infant Protection Act,
right.
And the Partial Birth Abortion Ban. And particularly in the Partial Birth Abortion Ban, as we know, then that was challenged in the courts, and because we had those two Supreme Court nominations, that ban was upheld.
Right.
So there's a really good example of real good progress through the three branches of government by electing pro-life people in those positions.
And many people don't realize how those three laws that you just mentioned lay the groundwork in the law for the eventual banning of all abortion. I mean, the other side sometimes recognizes this more than our side does, in the sense
they
that
they see it as a crack in the dam.
And it really is.
Right.
It really is. Because, for example, the Born Alive, you can't say we're going to protect children in the womb despite the choice of the mother that they be killed, unless you can first say we're going to protect children who were supposed to be killed by abortion but then survived,
right,
despite the choice of the mother, we're going to protect them. That's what the unborn victim, that's what the Born Alive Infants Protection Act does. So it lays significant groundwork in the law. Partial birth abortion ban, we have now the clear evidence that Congress can ban an abortion procedure, that it can do so without a health exception, and that the Supreme Court can uphold such a ban.
That's right.
Exactly what we've done. Very, very significant steps forward.
Well, then another example is executive orders.
Yes.
And that's something that usually happens on Inauguration Day or within those first few days. And Mexico City policy is a policy that was begun in the Reagan administration. And it was reversed during the Clinton administration.
Right.
And then when President George W. Bush took office, he reinstated that Mexico City policy. And that really stops funding of abortion overseas, basically. And this is another example. Now, obviously, whatever kind of president you have in office says what happens with this Mexico City policy, like I just said.
Well,
you know,
yes.
It kind of teeter-totters back and forth.
The flow of money is an important aspect of this battle over abortion. The flow of money into the abortion industry, the flow of money at home and abroad. The president of the United States and his administration determines in very large measure whether the United States is going to push abortion in these other countries. Is funding to these other countries, for example, going to depend upon that country relaxing its abortion laws?
Right.
It's a big influence worldwide, because this is a worldwide battle, the struggle for life.
And in worldwide battles, of course, we have the United Nations. And another thing that the President Bush did was he cut off all federal funds to the United Nations Population Fund.
Yes.
And, I mean, that, again, is exporting abortion. And especially he sent a fact-finding commission over to China.
Yes.
Because of their one-child policy. You know, so these are things, again, a pro-life president did to kind of put the reins on or hold back widespread funding of abortion.
Well, he also instructed the U.S. delegates at every appropriate opportunity that anything that came before the United Nations suggesting that there was an international right to abortion, and this is what the pro-abortion groups at the U.N., exactly what they try to do, president said that our representatives, our delegates, are to say very clearly that the United States opposes that. We oppose any kind of declaration of an international right to abortion. So these things are critically important.
Now, of course, another thing that helps reduce abortion is making people aware of adoption as a loving option. We know for many years adoption was getting a very negative play, both in the press, in Hollywood, in the media. And President Bush launched a public awareness adoption campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that if people see that adoption is a good choice, it's not giving up your child but making a plan, and now with open adoption, well, a campaign to educate people on adoption,
right,
will definitely help drive down the number of abortions.
Yes, it certainly does. It certainly does. And the president has influence here in terms of what he says, initiatives he encourages, the website listing that he established showing children available for adoption, AdoptUSKids.org, and then also questions of tax credits for adoption. He helped in the financial way there, too, as well.
Right. And, of course, annually, President Bush has declared the Sanctity of Human Life Day by a presidential proclamation. And I actually was at an event at the White House where I received one of those proclamations.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, again, this is, again, affirming in people's minds the sanctity of human life.
Yes.
Again, that's something a pro-life president can do. Now, obviously, if you have a pro-abortion president in office, you're not going to see those kind of proclamations.
You have proclamations of Pro-Choice Day.
That's right.
For that matter.
Celebrating, Women's Right to Choose Day.
You know, one of the things, too, that the president did and obviously can do, he issued a federal regulation which allowed states, through the SCHIP program, the State Children's Health Insurance, to declare unborn children to be in the category of children eligible for that kind of insurance benefits. So that's again another way that the status of the unborn is raised in our culture, in our law, in our policy, and in our funding of just by an act of the president.
Yeah. I mean, there are a lot of things that really, and of course, abstinence education is another thing, and faith-based initiatives were things that, I know the abstinence program, we know a lot of different people who are in those ministries, and they have flourished in the almost 8 years under President Bush,
yes,
because there's been federal money available for those initiatives.
Yes.
And we also know that abstinence programs also, again, drive down abortion.
Before we take our break and then we go into what a president can do in the, on the pro-abortion side, let's just talk about one very big arena here, which is presidential appointments. We mentioned already briefly the courts, and that's major because so many of these policy decisions on issues like abortion are, in fact, ending up in the courts and being made by the courts. In fact, the courts exercise too much power because the legislative bodies are supposed to do a lot more of this. But besides the courts, the president makes thousands of other appointments.
That's right.
And this is critical. Whether the president, where the president stands on the abortion issue is going to be reflected in personnel. Personnel is policy.
That's right.
You got somebody in a particular office that, that it leans a certain way or that knows that the president leans a certain way on a certain issue is going to do things accordingly in that particular position. And what is it, like over 7,000 positions that the president fills?
When I heard that number for myself, I found it staggering, like 7,000 jobs in all these government agencies from the White House, the different cabinet positions, and then on, clear on down. I mean,
Let's look at some of these. I mean, there's the courts. Okay. All right. But then in the White House, the chief of staff, the counsel to the president, assistant to the president for domestic policy, office of faith-based and community initiatives, assistance for legislative affairs, policy development, the Justice Department, the attorney general.
Right.
How we're treated when we peacefully picket and protest abortion.
Outside abortion clinics, exactly.
Is affected by who's in that attorney general's office and all the other people that assist the attorney general. Department of Health and Human Services.
The Food and Drug Administration, which we know, I mean, that's critical.
RU 486.
Right.
Exactly.
Ambassadors to the UN, the agencies for international development. I mean, there's just 50 appointments right there.
The National Institutes of Health. I mean, this is, it's just truly staggering,
right,
the kind of influence. And, you know, your personnel is policy. You get a person in there who has a certain mindset. All of a sudden, the priorities of that particular office, that particular year, are going to shift accordingly.
That's right.
And things that are inimical to pro-lifers, well, they'll be put on the back burner or dismissed altogether. Things that, on the other hand, things that help the cause of abortion will be put on the front burner by someone who's pro-abortion.
Yeah, and I think it's just the atmosphere in Washington alone, because of all these appointments, it just changes.
Yes.
You know, this, the way the wind is blowing,
yes,
so to speak. And I distinctly remember that that day, Father, when we were in Washington, when President Bush was first inaugurated, if you remember, they would just feel like a different feel came into the city because of, I think, these kind of appointments and a new person who respected life.
All right, well, let's take a little break and then talk about what other things can happen in the presidency in regard to the abortion issue. We'll be right back.
There's nothing wrong with your television set. You don't see anything because there's nothing there. Abortion, the most common surgery in America. Why don't we ever see what it looks like? A message from Priests for Life.
Now you can make a difference in the lives of the unborn for as little as $12. Make your donation today and we'll send you a copy of the pro-life masterpiece, Earth's Trash, Heaven's Treasure. Vivid imagery and striking colors come together in a painting that captures the essence of eternal hope for the unborn. You'll help change the hearts and lives of people everywhere. Plus, you'll have a treasured piece of artwork that serves as a daily reminder of the beauty of precious living souls. Make your donation today.
Well, welcome back. We're talking about what influence a president can have on the abortion issue. Jana, let's say a president is pro-abortion. We talked about Supreme Court appointments, of course, and the court is going to change in the next few years once again. And will it lean in the direction of reversing Roe v. Wade or reaffirming it? Well, the president will have a lot to say about that, as will the Senate. And there's a piece of legislation that the pro-abortion people have tried to enact in the past, have not been successful. The so-called Freedom of Choice Act It does not just codify Roe v. Wade. It goes even far more beyond it, because not only would it enshrine abortion on demand throughout pregnancy, but also, again, take away from states even the little leeway that they do have in regulating abortion with things like parental involvement laws, informed consent, and so forth.
That's right. And, you know, in many states, those laws are becoming more and more common. Matter of fact, I just read recently where I think just about every state has some law limiting abortion in some way.
In some way. The courts have upheld that.
That's right. So this, if this Freedom of Choice Act were to see the light of day, it would be disastrous nationwide.
The other thing for voters to keep in mind, too, is that we're not, when we talk about the influence of a president, it very much depends on what kind of support, of the base of support he has in Congress. Because if the minority party in Congress is too much in the minority, and the other side has a veto-proof majority, well, then they can get things passed much more easily. Even if a president were against abortion, Congress was for it, but then they have a big enough majority, then they can ram things through that are more extreme.
That's right.
Things like national health insurance is another issue. If you're going to have some kind of national health care policy, what role will abortion have there? Will abortion be funded by taxpayers? What about things like the Hyde Amendment, which has prevented Medicaid funds from being used for abortion? Pro-abortion people want to change that. They want to reverse the kinds of laws, repeal the kinds of laws that we already talked about are in effect. They want to restore the funding that we already mentioned was taken away from the United Nations Populations Fund because of its support for China's coercive one-child policy. Mm-hmm. And various other, and then the United Nations, too, all of a sudden would become, the United States would be there as advocating abortion in other countries.
That's right. And, you know, we said before Mexico City policy, that would once again fall. And then those three, you know, pro-life bills that we were passed, the partial birth, unborn victims, could be repealed, actually.
Well, if the president wanted to push for that and Congress could act. Well, there's a lot of implications, obviously. Abortions in military hospitals is another thing.
That's right.
That the president can either order or as is the case now, prohibit from taking place. Well, there's a lot more to be said, but brothers and sisters, we urge you to educate yourself, and our website will help you on this as well. As to the implications, not either to have expectations too great nor too small, but let's be informed about how our government works in regard to this critical issue of abortion. So thanks, Janet, and we'll be back, friends, in just a moment with our action segment.
There is a crisis in America, a Holocaust that takes the lives of more than 3,000 children every day through the horrific act of abortion. Yet despite this tragic loss, we are gaining victory over this culture of death. In the last 12 years, half of the nation's freestanding abortion clinics have closed, and the abortion industry is on the run. Gospel of Life Ministries has played a vital role in the rescue of countless children and is currently in place to save thousands more. But we urgently need your support to make this happen. Not everyone can be on the front line of this battle, but when you support Gospel of Life, you are saving lives. Your life-saving gift of $25, $50, or $100 will help us provide alternatives to women who think they have no choice but abortion. And for those countless women who have lost children to abortion, Gospel of Life Ministries will help them find forgiveness, healing, and peace in the cross of Christ and become outspoken advocates for the lives of their unborn children. The help you provide will also bring the saving word of life to churches through a training program that is raising a mass voice that will see abortion stopped. With your gift of $25, we'll send you the booklet, Pro-Life, Today and Always. It will give you an overview of why we are pro-life and provide reflections that will stir and motivate you to action. With your gift of $50, we'll also send you the DVD, The Procedure. In this powerful DVD, you'll hear abortionists discuss the procedure in their own words and unmask the violence that the abortion industry tries to hide. And when you give a gift of $100, we'll also include the book, Forbidden Grief. This compelling book will open your eyes to the psychological damage done to those who have had an abortion experience. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Hello, friends. Welcome to our action segment. We're going to talk today about the upcoming elections and things that you can do in a practical way to mobilize as many voters as possible. Janet, we all have one vote. We each have one vote, but we can each influence hundreds, even thousands of other votes. Let's talk about how.
Well, the first thing is to make sure that like-minded friends and family are registered to vote. We assume that everyone's registered to vote, but that's certainly not. We know for a fact that we had surveyed our ministry, our membership, people who subscribe to our newsletter. We found there's a good percentage of them that were just unregistered. So we helped encourage them and get them registered. Well, we can do that the same thing as individuals. Start with your immediate family, then your church family, any groups you belong to. If you're in the church choir or you do a Bible study, it's very easy to get the forms for voter registration. We have them on our website where you can download the forms for your state. Keep them with you in your car, in your briefcase, in your pocketbook, so that if you're having a conversation with a person, you say, oh, by the way, are you prepared to vote in this important election? Are you registered? There's a person who gives you that look like, gee, I don't know if I am, or I moved since the last election,
yeah,
and I don't know.
I was just going to say that. If you have moved, you should check.
You should check, because you might have to adjust your registration. Well, if you have those forms with you, you can just say to the person, hey, I happen to have a form with me. Here you go, and could you fill it out, and I'll be happy to mail it in for you or whatever. I mean, it's such a simple activity. Pastors and churches can do this. We've had certain Sundays where we declared as voter registration Sunday. Now, you're registering to vote. But you're not registering them to be registered under one party or another party. This is perfectly nonpartisan activity. Any church can do it. So that's the first premise, is make sure people are registered. And let's not forget all the young people that will turn 18 before Election Day in November. You can register to vote now. This way you will be all registered and able to vote. As long as your 18th birthday falls before Election Day, you can fill out those forms today.
And Election Day this year is November the 4th.
That's right. Now, once you know that everyone's registered and you've done that job, now you've got to really get them to do maybe early voting, okay, or absentee voting. That's another thing to make people aware of, because in many states, voting begins even in September and October. They don't wait till November. And, it's very important. And absentee ballots are very important for business people that travel a lot, people who are homebound or in nursing homes. Get them their absentee ballots, because every vote is going to count.
We have also the obligation to make as known as possible the method by which in each particular state this gets done. Each state has its laws on all the things we've been talking about, voter registration, early voting, and other requirements that are maybe in place. We make that all available at our special election-related website, politicalresponsibility.com. And so we ask people to be attentive to that. Well, good. Thanks, Janet. We're going to mobilize people, as in past elections, for this election as well. And folks, it's part of the commission that Jesus gives us to go into the world to make disciples of all the nations and to teach them to carry out everything that he has commanded. This is part of our gospel response. This is not something that is just a response to some particular political party or candidate. And to help you more fully understand the dimensions of all of this, we have prepared this booklet, Voting with a Clear Conscience, 10 Things to Keep in Mind Before You Go into the Voting Booth, and we'd like to send this to you completely free of charge. Contact us at Gospel of Life so that this will be yours and it will help you and your church congregation or your pro-life group or your relatives, your coworkers, anybody to whom you can pass this along, help all of you to prepare for this year's elections. And finally, we encourage you to promote and to support our ministry. If you like the things that you hear on these programs, not only do we ask you to tell other people about the programs, but we ask you also send us a donation at Gospel of Life so that we can continue to spread this word. God bless you.
until people saw images of children in coal mines did they enact child labor laws. Not until people saw images of human torture did they rise up against slavery. And now, after seeing these images, what will you do? Priests for Life, because America will never reject abortion unless America sees abortion. Call now to learn how you can help.
You are looking at the face of an unborn child, 25 and a half weeks into pregnancy. This child can be legally killed by abortion in America. As this ad from the Yellow Pages proves, some abortion clinics sell abortions up to 28 weeks. Abortion kills living children whose hearts are beating and whose bodily organs are all in place. Abortion, haven't we gone too far?
There is a crisis in America, a Holocaust that takes the lives of more than 3,000 children every day through the horrific act of abortion. Yet despite this tragic loss, we are gaining victory over this culture of death. With your gift of $25, we'll send you the booklet, Pro-Life, Today and Always. It will give you an overview of why we are pro-life and provide reflections that will stir and motivate you to action. With your gift of $50, we'll also send you the DVD, The Procedure. In this powerful DVD, you'll hear abortionists discuss the procedure in their own words and unmask the violence that the abortion industry tries to hide. And when you give a gift of $100, we'll also include the book, Forbidden Grief. This compelling book will open your eyes to the psychological damage done to those who have had an abortion experience. Please call, write, or make your gift online today. Gospel of Life program is made possible by the supporters of Gospel of Life Ministries and Priests for Life. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of stopping abortion and providing post-abortion healing. Specific outreaches mentioned are examples of the programs conducted and supported. Gifts are considered to be without use restriction unless specifically stipulated by the donor.